This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carol Van Dam, and here's what's coming up.
Since 2018, since we started this program, one of the main drivers of hunger, which is conflict, really escalated in the Sahel.
That's Greta Trombrink of the World Food Program, who says a new study shows WFP efforts to build resilience to climate change and human-caused shocks in Burkina Faso and Niger are paying off. Also, Sudan peace talks break off, and Senegalese opposition leader Ousmane Sonko files a criminal complaint against President Macky Sall for crimes against humanity. All this and more coming up on Africa News Tonight. A top United States diplomat says the U.S. adjourned talks with Sudan's warring military forces today because the format for the negotiations was not succeeding in the way they had wanted. The United States and Saudi Arabia have brokered several ceasefires with Sudan's armed forces and the rival paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, which have been fighting since April 15th. A short time ago, Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs Molly Fee told members of the U.S. Congress that the truces have not been fully effective, but have allowed the delivery of urgently needed humanitarian assistance. Fee also said the U.S. government is fully engaged in addressing the crisis. Diplomatic sources in East Africa have confirmed that Kenya has officially brushed aside General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan's rejection of President William Ruto as leader of IGAD's proposed four-nation peace mission to Sudan. The team also includes leaders from South Sudan, Ethiopia, and Djibouti. From Nairobi, James Shimanyula has the story.
The commander of Sudan's army, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, says he's the country's official leader as his forces battle the Rapid Support Forces, Hamdan Dagalo. Burhan has described Dagalo as a rebel since the fighting began on April 15th. According to diplomatic sources, Burhan claims that Kenya sympathizes with the RSF. He has rejected Kenya's President William Ruto as head of a planned mediation team from IGAD, the Intergovernmental Authority on Development. The delegation's other members are Djibouti, Ethiopia, and South Sudan. Ruto's spokesman, Hussein Mohamed, dismissed Burhan's rejection of Ruto's role in the mission to Khartoum. The spokesman said Kenya remains committed to regional and international initiatives for a sustainable end to conflict in the region. Hassan Khanenje is a political scientist and the director of the Nairobi-based Horn International Institute for Strategic Studies. He says Burhan's stance could be challenging for Ruto.
While Kenya dismissed al-Burhan's rejection of its leadership with regard to the IGAD team, I think it's going to be extremely important that Nairobi finds a way of regaining confidence of both parties within the Sudanese conflict to be able to be effective.
Khanenje says the Sudanese army seems to prefer another IGAD state to head the delegation.
From the statements in Khartoum, especially Burhan's team, you can tell that they seem to have more confidence in South Sudan's ability to be able to mediate. In part, I think, because it's informed by the fact that Sudan was a big player in the South Sudanese peace process and potentially are more likely to be open to the South Sudanese mediation.
The fighting has killed thousands and displaced about 2 million people. The United Nations estimates 25 million Sudanese, half the population, need urgent humanitarian aid. For VOA Africa, I'm James Shimanyula in Nairobi.
A new study shows that UN World Food Program efforts to build resilience to climate change and human-caused shocks in Burkina Faso and Niger in recent years have boosted food security while also enhancing social cohesion and improving prospects for peace in both countries. The study was conducted by the WFP, the International Food Policy and Research Institute, and the Institute for Peace and Development. Greta Trombrink, a WFP program officer in Dakar, spoke with me by phone.
The Sahel region is one of the most structurally food insecure regions in Africa. So this program that we've developed since 2018 is basically a continuation of the need. There's recurrent need for emergency assistance We do a couple of activities together for the same communities, which includes land rehabilitation, which includes school feeding and nutrition programs.
You mentioned some of these things, but what are the primary drivers of hunger in the Sahel?
Well, there's a couple of drivers, and there's no one cause of hunger, right? But why we did this study is because since 2018, since we started this program, one of the main drivers of hunger, which is conflict, really escalated in the Sahel. So in 2018, we are talking about some, according to ACLED, some 2,800 violent events with like 11,000 casualties. So we had like 2,800 violent events in 2018. Now we had like 11,000 last year. So you can really see insecurity is rising, not only in terms of intensity, but also in terms of geographic extent. And that is like definitely the case, or especially the case in the Central Sahel, so Burkina Faso, Mali and Niger. And that is why we progressively wanted to leverage the operations that we have, the resilience building activities that we have, to invest in social cohesion, kind of as a buffer to this insecurity. Because you can really see the repercussions conflict has for people's livelihoods and food security, right? So, for example, farmers cannot access their fields, herders cannot move with their cattle, which in a context where most people are dependent on agriculture and pastoralism heavily impacts livelihoods.
How have these WFP programs you've been describing helped women in the Sahel in particular?
Yeah, glad that you mentioned it, because the study also showed us, also revealed some very interesting things about women's empowerment. So the general sense is that women really expressed a sense of empowerment through participation in the program. So one is related to how we plan and manage program activities. So before we implement anything, we do what we call a community-based participatory planning exercise, where we sit down with the community for a few days to identify their needs and priorities, and then develop activities that serve their interests and vision.
Like what? Well, give me an example of one of those, you know, activities.
The key activities that we do is really land rehabilitation. So making land productive again for farming and for pastoralism. So we have a huge problem in the Sahel with land degradation, which is also accelerated because of particularly climate change. We have a drought every couple of years, and then it's recurrent with also with flooding, which really makes it really hard for people who depend on agriculture and pastoralism to make a living.
That is Greta Trumbrink. She was speaking with me earlier today from Dakar, Senegal. Campaigning has officially ended as the Electoral Commission of Sierra Leone prepares for presidential and parliamentary elections on Saturday. Incumbent President Julius Maada Bio, who is seeking his second and final term, is expected to face a tough challenge from main opposition leader Samora Kamara from the All People's Congress Party. Local and international poll observers have been urging candidates to demonstrate their commitment to the recently signed peace pledge and ensure there will be no violence during the voting. Abdul Fatoma is the executive director for Campaign for Human Rights and Developmental International. He talks with VOA's Peter Cloti via Skype about the latest developments, expectations, and how the Electoral Commission is reacting to misinformation about the polling.
There are some group of politicians who have been informing their members and supporters that there's no going to be an election on Saturday. And yesterday, the Electoral Commission held their press conference informing the people of this country that they're ready, and also calling on the opposition that they are, you know, an important part of this process.
I know the opposition group has taken the Electoral Commission chairman to court, saying he's not qualified to be there and that he was imposed on them. Some are even calling for an extension or a postponement of the election if credibility should be maintained. The main opposition leader, Samora Kamara, is calling for international experts to replace this crop of commission officials. Do Sierra Leoneans expect the elections to be free, fair, transparent, and credible, especially with these doubts?
This is what also they have put forward as part of their counter-allegations against them, that they have been, you know, transparent throughout the process, by ensuring that the opposition parties have been involved into the process and also have, you know, freely participated in all of the process.
How competitive will the presidential election be, especially with the president seem to be having a lot of crowd during the recent campaigns before campaign officially ended? And I saw the APC presidential candidate having a lot of supporters as well. But you also have some other opposition, minor opposition parties, as some people will call it. You had former Justice Minister Magai, who said, well, I will win the election, but if you don't vote for me, vote for Samora Kamara. Why didn't they come together to form a united front if they needed to pose any significant political threat to the president re-election effort?
Well, that is the confusion in town currently as we speak, just among the very opposition political party. I mean, their interest is very split in coming together.
I have seen ECOWAS poll observers and their team lead Dr. Mohamed Ibn Chambers calling for a peaceful vote. The Commonwealth, led by Professor Oshibanjo, the former Nigerian vice president, calling for peace. How are these political parties and Sierra Leoneans receiving this message of peace?
Now we are getting more political party leaders making continued commitment. Yesterday, the opposition was calling for a mass protest. No election, no data protest. But now there are some misunderstanding, you know, from their end. And the international community, the United States, Germany, and also the British High Commission here and Ireland, they all put out a joint statement calling for calm. And if there's any aggrieved party, they should use the court of law as a mechanism to settle, you know, their differences, than, you know, taking on the streets, you know, to cause any violence or other mayhem. But we as a human rights organization, we continue to remind the government that the protest is a fundamental right to citizens.
That was Abdul Fatoma. He's executive director for Campaign for Human Rights and Development International. He was speaking with VOA's Peter Clody via Skype. You're listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. The French news agency AFP reports Senegalese opposition leader Ousmane Sonko has filed a criminal complaint against President Macky Sall for crimes against humanity and requested a probe by the International Criminal Court. The complaint filed in France, where Sall is attending a global climate finance summit. Lawyer Juan Branco told AFP that Sonko alleges deadly clashes following his sentence to prison this month are the latest step in a generalized and systematic attack on the civilian population of Senegal since March 2021. Sonko's case also targets Senegalese Interior Minister Antoine Diome, Philippe Military Police Chief Moussa Fall, and 112 others. For more on this move, VOA's Douglas Mpuga reached Rene Lake, director of CenaPlus.com, a media organization.
Oh, I think it's a political move, and that's kind of normal in kind of a situation. Everybody is trying to push their. It's a kind of a chess game, actually, what's happening in Senegal. Macky Sall arrived in France. Before that, when he was in Portugal, the opposition was pretty vehement, expressing their disapproval of him. A lot of video have circulated on that. Now he arrived in France, and now in France, he was able to put together a pretty popular meeting of his of his supporters, and Macky Sall had a pretty good political moment of support. And I think that this act of Sonko is his way also in Paris, France, which is very important for Senegal and for the policy of Macky Sall, to kind of mess up a little bit the tears apart, as you will say familiarly.
So you think since Sonko also has legal issues in Senegal, if his case goes through in France, that will also maybe stop Macky Sall from running?
No, I don't think he expects that, and obviously that's not gonna happen. They're not gonna determine if Macky Sall run or not. Personally, as I have said several times for the past few years, I do not believe that Macky Sall gonna run, even if I have to say every single day you have the impression that that is planned. But I think he knows about politics. If he didn't know about politics, he would not be where he is now. And I think that I don't give him any chance to win anyway if he was running. So I don't understand why he would go and do that. So I don't personally believe that he will run. But again, even if he run, it will be extremely difficult, almost impossible for him to win. Because in order to win, you have to win at the first round. Else, that's not going to happen. I don't think anybody can win in the first round in Senegal today. So I think that this is, again, a political chess game. And everybody is trying to push his different position. And I think that is more like some other people can say the move of Sonko is almost a diversion at this point.
And what do you think he targeted also in his case, a Senegalese interior minister, Anthony Dion, and the military police chief, Moussa Fall? Do you think that he wants to involve the whole leadership into this criminal case?
Yes, because he has a basis also, you have to say, to make that point. I don't think the procedure is going to get anywhere, and especially not in the speed that he would like to. But he has a basis, because what happened the 1st, the 2nd, and the 3rd of June of this year was worrisome, because there was a confusion on some of those private milice almost operating with the legal security, police, and army forces in Senegal. And there's a lot of video showing that. There is a lot of testimony talking about that, and even at the international level, here the New York Times wrote about that. In France, a lot of newspaper, even in Italy, in some translated some articles about that situation. So indeed, Sonko has a basis to basically question and ask for accountability from the government and for all those players. But again, the fact that it's done now and in those conditions, that's what I will call a political chess move, a political maneuver. But the basis of the claim is definitely serious. But again, I don't think it's going to play out politically in Senegal before the election.
That was Rene Lake, director of Senaplus.com, a media outlet, speaking with my colleague Douglas Mpuga from Washington. Sonko's conviction would make him ineligible for the 2024 presidential election. Cameroon has prohibited what it calls the broadcast of television programs that propagate homosexuality in the Central African state. The country says homosexual scenes that violate Cameroonian laws and customs are increasingly aired in cartoons, mostly watched by children. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé that the prohibition of LGBTQ content on TV in Cameroon comes after bars and popular spots where LGBTQ persons visit were closed, and some people in the community were brutalized.
Cameroon's National Communication Council, or NCC, is responsible for regulating media and handling media offenses, and it says scenes depicting homosexuality as a normal way of life are increasingly being broadcast in Cameroon. The NCC this week issued what the country's media call a stern warning to TV stations the agency says propagate homosexuality. NCC President Joseph Chabonken Kalabubse says media organizations in Cameroon that broadcast programs linked to homosexuality after the ban he announced this week will be severely punished.
The National Communication Council can suspend a media outlet for promoting values that go contrary to our cultural practices and also the laws of our republic. We can suspend the media outlet from 1 month to 6 months, or suspend its broadcast or its presence in Cameroon.
Kalabubse said acts of homosexuality are prohibited by Cameroonian law, and broadcasting scenes linked to homosexuality is against professional ethics and the laws of nature. The NCC says many of the programs promoting homosexuality are cartoons that are frequently watched by children. On Friday, Cameroon State broadcaster CRTV reported that foreign media organs such as the Walt Disney Company are trying to represent lesbians and homosexuals by airing cartoons such as Miraculous Ladybug. In some of these programs, women can be seen kissing each other, which is taboo in Cameroon, state broadcaster CRTV reported. Kalabups said foreign TV stations that broadcast homosexual and lesbian content will be suspended from broadcasting in Cameroon. The NCC says Cameroon journalists should immediately remove programs linked to homosexuality or face sanctions. Baka Ernest Acho, a Cameroon Bar Association member, says Cameroonian laws make it possible for journalists to be charged and sentenced heavily for promoting homosexuality.
The chairman of National Communication Council did just what is contained in the decree reorganizing the National Communication Council. Homosexuality is punished in section 347(1) of Cameroon Penal Code, and the sanction gets up to 5 years of imprisonment.
Acho said the NCC, by prohibiting homosexual and lesbian content on TV, is ensuring the respect of people's dignity and protecting children and youth from practices that are foreign to Cameroon. The NCC decision came less than a month after authorities in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé, closed at least half a dozen bars and popular spots they say are LGBTI-friendly. The police said lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and intersex or LGBTI people had turned the popular spots into daily meeting arenas and are convincing young people to join LGBTI community. Rights groups say the police arrested, detained and tortured LGBTI and suspected LGBTI persons. Human rights lawyer Cyril Ayori says Cameroon laws are hostile to LGBTI persons.
Section 52 of the Civil Status Registration Ordinance is to the effect that no marriage may be celebrated if the spouses to be are of the same sex. When this section of the law is read with Section 347 of the Cameroon Penal Code, which punishes homosexuality with imprisonment from 6 months to 5 years, you will discover that the Cameroonian laws are very harsh to homosexuality.
The police says many poor youths are joining the LGBTI community with the false belief that they will become rich. The government says many young Cameroonians think that they can find LGBTI partners and travel to developed countries where the practice is legal and where living conditions are better. In May 2022, Human Rights Watch said Cameroonian security forces are not protecting LGBTI people from violent attacks and are instead arresting victims. The organization said Cameroon not only violates its obligations under national and international law, but it condones an atmosphere of violence and hate against LGBTI people by criminalizing LGBTI relations. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Senegal has struck a deal at a global summit in Paris with wealthier countries to get an initial $2.7 billion in financing that will allow it to develop renewable energy and speed up its transition to cleaner energy. The Senegal Just Energy Transition Partnership, backed by France, Germany, the European Union, the UK, and Canada, was formed in response to richer countries facing pressure to do more to help poorer countries fight climate change. And that wraps it up for this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbel Yabaro, and engineer, Nelson Lopez, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.